Acts chapter number 27. We'll be starting in the 20th verse through the 25th verse. We may go back prior to this. I'm not sure. I'm going to let the Lord lead on that one. But I'll start right here. It says, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, that hope, or all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood from in midst of them and said, 'Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosened from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but in the but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am.'" I like that, don't you? The angel of God, whose I am. Not only is the great I am, but I am his. But we see here, it's saying, "Fear not, Paul. For thou stood by me, the angel of doors, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." Father, we thank you for the day that you've given us. What a blessing it is to be here this morning, Lord. We pray for the pastor as he's away. Lord, we pray for his family. God, we just ask that the situation, that you would just give comfort and direction. God, I thank you for the ones who are here this morning. Lord, I just pray above all that if there be one here who is lost, that God, you would save them, that you would convict them, and that, Lord, that they would see, Lord, there is no hope without you. Father, I thank you for all that you give. I thank you for the day. I thank you for my family. I thank you for this church family, my church family, Lord God. Lord, lead us and guide us to be your will, and that of your Son's sweet and heavenly name, and amen. You may be seated. We were blessed to teach this morning, and I'm thankful for all those who included themselves and who asked questions and who gave answers to the Sunday school this morning. And I'll give you a recap of the Sunday school this morning, why we cannot quit. I was thinking about that, why we cannot quit. Well, if you believe God, you can't quit. Why? Because God's not going to let you quit. I thank God for his conviction. I thank him for his remembrance, for his guidance. But I began to think a few other things, and I'll get into the message why we cannot quit. I'll tell you a few things why we cannot quit. Brother back there is holding that precious little boy. Well, that's why we cannot quit. Three little girls on this side. That's why we can't quit. This young man right here, that's why we can't quit. Sister, you're the reason why we can't quit. You're the reason why we can't quit. All of us here are the reasons why we can't quit. Amen? We are epistles, the Bible says. Written unto men. We should go out and tell people about Jesus. That's why we can't quit. Why we cannot quit is this also. We must encourage one another. That's why we cannot quit. But I'll go back to this really quick. Why we can't quit is because we believe God. We know God. He knows us. If you truly know God, you won't quit. And if you've quit and you do know God, it's time to get back right and be his again. You may say, "Well, I stopped being his." Well, you stop putting him first. I'm not saying you can't lose your salvation, but here's the thing. Shouldn't he be your all? Shouldn't he be your number one? He didn't say, "I believe God and the captain of this ship and the ones who put me on this ship." No, he said, "I believe God." There are many out there today who have forgotten God. But I'm thankful he hasn't forgotten us, amen. Although we think he has forgotten us, he hasn't forgotten us. Paul is a very example right here that God has not forgotten his children. And I like the fact to know that God remembered that God has not forgotten his children. If I can preach just for a few moments on this thought, guess what the title is? I Believe God. We see here, first of all, that that Paul here is on his way to Rome. We understand that several things have happened throughout Paul's life. Okay, we know that he has been beaten. We know that he has been stoned. We know that he's been left for dead. He's about to be shipwrecked. Hey, he's been brought before Agrippa, and the saddest thing that's ever been said right here in these few chapters was, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian," was said by King Agrippa. He completely denied God, and he sent Paul on his way. I mean, that's unfortunate, isn't it? "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Hey, almost isn't good enough. Kinda isn't good enough. You're either all in or you're all out. Paul, we see here, is all in. Listen to me. There is a situation going on right now in this very scripture where Paul is being faced in a great trial. And we see the men who have been given the duty to deliver Paul to Rome are scared. And they're hurting, and they have lost all hope. In fact, we see here in verse 20, it said, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. First of all, can I say this? Is that let's examine the situation that Paul is in, and let us bring this to what we are in today. We see, first of all, in verse 20, "And when neither sun nor star in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." We live in a time when we feel disoriented, don't we? I mean, we don't know what's going on next week. We don't know what's going on tomorrow. We don't know what's going on 45 minutes from today. But here's the wonderful thing, is that the Lord told us to take no thought of tomorrow. Hey, it's not promised, is it? And I like the fact to notice that it wasn't just someone saying take no thought of tomorrow, but it was God's word telling us to take no thought of tomorrow. We see here in the first part of this verse that they are confused. "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us." Hey, in those days they didn't have GPS. They didn't have the nautical guidance systems that we do today. What they used was the sun and the stars to take their direction. Hey, they focused on that north star. They made sure that they always kept that in sight. They knew where the sun went, where they were going when the sun was at their backs. They knew where they were going when the sun was at their fronts, depending on the day of time. There was nothing going on at that time. They were completely confused. They were disoriented. That's how it feels today. When we put ourselves and we get so caught up in what's going on, and we get caught up in the news, and we get caught up on what everybody else is saying, we're going to get disoriented. When we don't use the proper tool that has been given us as children of God, we're going to get lost. I didn't say we're going to be lost. We're going to get lost. When we don't use the roadmap that's been set before us, when we're more focused and set on being guided by the easy things. Hey, I remember when GPS came out, and here's the thing, it's been out for so many years and it's still messing us up, where it tells us to go 5 miles down the road and then it says take a U-turn, and then go up 3.5 miles, and you're just thinking to yourself, why can't I just go up the 2.5 miles and turn left or turn right? Why? Because something hasn't been calculated to the new specifications. But here's the thing, is that we've been given a blessed word that has been written by the mighty hand of God, that can give us any answers at any time. There is no reason that we should get or stay disoriented or stay confused if we keep our eyes on the map. I mean, if we examine the situation that Paul's in, yes, I guess you would say it looks a little bleak for them because, hey, they don't know where they're going. I mean, it's so rough out here that there's even a name for this storm, Euroclydon. I mean, that means typhoon. It's a hurricane. We're in, hey, there's, well, that's all we hear about on the news right now is COVID-19, the election, and hurricanes. Somebody got washed away. Some church got destroyed. My pastor and two other men went down to Alabama and helped a church down there clean up. There's Louisiana, you see, over in Georgia. I mean, it's hitting all the mid-Atlantic states now. Or North Carolina, excuse me. You're seeing all this water and all these winds and all these waves, and it's just destroying everything. Could you imagine a little tiny ship with no electronics in the middle of this big typhoon? I would be scared too. So we not only do you see that they're confused, not only do we see that they're confused, but we see that they're cast down. They've lost all hope. In fact, I know they've lost hope because it says this: all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. All hope that was saved. See, this is where Satan wants us. This is where the world wants us. He wants us without hope. You say, well, I'm saved. Satan has no power over me, even though I've lost all hope. Well, what do you think is happening? The Bible clearly tells us. It says, be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, you may be a Christian. Amen. But here's the thing. We have lost family. We have those who need us. We have those who are depending on us. My children who are with their mother today in church, they're depending on them, on us, that we take them to church. The grandbabies, the nieces and nephews, the schoolmate, the friend that you've known for years, the co-worker, they're depending on you to be a light to them. So if you're cast down, how does it look for them? How does that work with our testimonies and in our profession? You see, here's the thing is, yes, it gets hard. Yes, it hurts. But as we remember, we have an advocate with the Father, do we not? So we see here in this examining of the situation that we ourselves are in on this day, on November 1st, 2020. Yes, it feels confusing. Yes, we feel cast down. But I love the fact of this is what Paul is doing right here is exactly what we need to do today. Verse 21 says, but after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye shall have hearkened unto me, and I have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Paul comes out of the way. He's, you know what Paul does? You know, Paul entreats the Savior. He looks for guidance. He goes to the one who's not scared, the one who's not lost control. He doesn't have to call the Coast Guard and says, Mayday, Mayday, we're going down. He doesn't have to send up a flare. He doesn't have to wave his hands and say, someone, help me. No, well, you know what he did? He did exactly what Matthew 6:6 tells us. He tells us real quick, I'll go over here. It says, Matthew 6:6 says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That's what happened. He went and prayed. Listen, real quick. It says here simply, Paul went and prayed. Verses 14 through 15 says this, but not long after there arose a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. 18 says, and when we began exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lighted the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Now this is Luke writing here, right here, and what he's saying is, hey, for 3 days we tried to do exactly what we thought we could do to save ourselves. But that's not what Paul did. That's not what we need to do. What we need to do is we need to go to God first. We need to make our petition known before Him. There was an urgency in Paul's prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? Availeth much. He knew exactly who to go to. He prayed. He asked for God's guidance. We see here in verse 23, listen, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." You know, when we entreat the Savior, what I'm trying to say is this, is that when we pray to God, things happen. I've said it this morning, I'll say it again. Prayer changes things. You may say, "How do you know that?" Well, I'm standing right here. Somebody prayed for me. So, your mom and daddy, they prayed for you. Someone prayed for you. Are you still praying? Are you still seeking God? Are you still asking Him? Or are you doing it on your own? You see, 3 days in a great storm, that could take a toll on somebody. Especially if you're trying to do things on your own. But when you get ahead, or when you get behind yourself and you push yourself out of the way, you get out of your own way, and you get with God, things happen. We see this. We see an experience of safety. See, they're exposed to the elements. This isn't a cruise ship. This isn't even a pirate ship. This is an open concept. Things are getting hard. There may be a small cabin. I don't know. I'm not going to get too deep into that. But what I'm trying to say is this, is that they were not technologically advanced to withstand this. But thankfully, there was someone on the ship who was spiritually connected with the one who sent the winds and the waves. Who told the winds and waves, "Calm, peace, be still." Who told that water that they can only go so far. I'm talking about God. Amen. That's what He did. He experienced safety. He's the one who gave safety. He's the one who keeps us safe. Listen to this real quick. First of all, we see in verses 23, the first part, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God." Hey, we see His presence. An ever-present help in a time of trouble. You ever notice that you say verses over and over again and people look at you like, "Is that the only verse you know?" Well, you know what? That's not the only verse I know, but that verse means so much to me. Those verses, every verse in this Bible means something to me. But that one right there, it sticks out because, hey, I've been in trouble before. We've all been in trouble before. If you're not here and saved, you're in trouble. Trust me, you're in trouble. If you would know the life I led before I got saved, you're in trouble. But praise God. Praise God, He pulled us out of that mire. He set us on that solid rock. He established our goings. And I'll say it again, He didn't just say, "I'll see you later." He went with us. But not only do we see His presence, listen to this. He said, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." So in verses 23 and 24, we see His protection. He said, "Fear not." Hey, when I tell you to fear not, be skeptical. When God tells you to fear not, fear not. When God tells you have no fear, the spirit of fear is not birthed within us. Hey, listen, I don't like scary movies. The new ones are just horrible, aren't they? I mean, they're disgusting. But here's the thing. I don't like them. Some people like them. I don't like them. Okay, you give me a Western, I'm 32 years old and I like old Westerns. I like old movies. I do. Excuse me, classic movies. Seasoned movies. You don't use certain words around certain people. But here's the thing. I'm not going to subject myself to those things. But am I afraid to die? I don't want to die yet. I want to see things happen. I want to see my kids grow up. I want to see them get saved. I want to see my children get married. I want to see my family get saved. But hey, if the Lord wants to take me home right now, even so, Lord, come. Either way, I'll be satisfied. But in the work that we do today as Christians, let us not be satisfied. You see, we have an experience that no generation before us has ever experienced. We have an experience that no generation after us may never experience. This situation right here, it seems like all hope is lost, but it's not. Amen? Now, here's the wonderful thing, is that we can entreat the Savior. We can go to God. We can pray. We can have faith. You say, well, it's kind of hard to have faith in a big storm, isn't it? The last time I checked, I didn't walk by sight. Amen? Amen? They said they let it drive. Hey, you just got to let it drive. You've got to have faith that God has control. Next, with that, we experience safety. You say, well, someone could walk in and shoot you right now. Would you feel safe? In the arms of Jesus. In the arms of Jesus. Last point, real quick. With all of this being said, tonight I'm going to preach, I'll go ahead and tell you, the message will be, somebody is watching you. That's the message. It'll be out of Acts chapter number 28. It's just the second part of this message. But right here we see evidence of our salvation. Verse 25 says this, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." There's two things that Paul is experiencing that each and every one of us experience. First of all, it's cheer. Listen, I don't come to... I love joy. Fun depletes. You can have fun for a few moments. Joy lasts forever. You can... He gives me an amount of joy. It's unsurpassable. Fun. Sometimes I get tired. Even just going out and doing things that I consider fun. Joy doesn't wear me out. Right. Next, we see confidence. Don't have confidence in me. Have confidence in Him. Right. And in that confidence, you will start to have confidence in me. You get what I'm saying? Because when you realize, when Paul said, "Be followers of me as I am of him," what he was saying is, don't follow me, but be like me as I follow him. Because that's what he told me to do. Goes back to, it's all about him again. So we see this evidence of our salvation. Evidence from his saints. Last time I checked, I didn't need to go to Rome to ask somebody to give me sainthood. Right. When I got saved, I became a saint. Right. And I want people to be able to see that I'm His. It's just like that mirror. When you look into a mirror, your reflection looks back at you. Now here's the thing, I don't want people just to see me. I want people to see Him. Remember this. We are a peculiar people. I'll touch on this again tonight. There's something different about us. You say, well, you look like just everybody else. Some average Joe. On the outside, I am. And she still married me. I like saying that. Amen, right? But here's the thing. On the inside, so much more.
undescribable. Remember, I can't tell you how it happened, but I can tell you how it feels. Well, really, I can't even tell you how it feels. It's without words. But there's evidence. You know a fruit by the fruit, or know a tree by the fruit that it bears, correct?
Right.
We see the fruit from Paul. We see what he's supposed to do. You see, I believe Paul is the perfect pattern for us.
Right.
Because he said these three words, I believe God. So my question this morning is, can you say 100% without a doubt, this isn't me calling anyone out, I don't know you, you don't know me, I know some of you, and some of you know me, but what I'm saying is that spiritually I don't know anyone here as far as I can't truly tell you you're saved and you can't truly tell me I'm saved.
Right.
But can you say you're saved? Not do you hope, but do you know? Do you know that you know that you know? And if there's any question, there's something wrong.
Right.
We all experience questions, don't we? Am I really? But there's always that reminder, that change that happened.
Right.
Or are you without God? Lost? This morning, that's the question. In fact, can we get an altar call? Brother, do you have a song on your... Does someone have a song in their heart? Or? I believe God.